Okay, she's rolling. I guess it's March 27th, and it is Ken, Keith, and me that are, and Charles that are here tonight.
Don't forget Tuesday.
I am also Charles.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday night. That's right. So,
Lord, we ask for your blessing in our meeting tonight. That your spirit would flow. That your truth would flow. We would be have ears for both what you have for us, and just generally ears for you, Lord. Ears for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I've been doing lots of thinking, and I told Charlie a little bit about this, but if the deliverance hadn't taken place the way that it did in 82, I never would have been in it. Because I try to stick with what I see happens in the Bible. You know, and deliverance in the Bible is not really what, according to the way that we did it. It was, but it wasn't. Because you don't see a whole church being into deliverance, although they should be. But you don't see it happen like we had happen. And I mean, we had as many deliverances in our church as we did outside of our church. And but we had a lot of people that came to our church. You know, and they came to see what was going on, and a lot of them that I know of, you know. And there are people today that are doing deliverance very much like we did then, but it's not a very open thing. It's like Tim King's son, Joel, he went through a major deliverance, and he had a major healing, and he talked to Brittany and Curtis about the deliverance, and you know, how much he enjoyed to be a part of it. And but their church is not really known for deliverance. Come on in.
Just me. Measure up some stuff here for that water heater and that, and then said she was having the floor done, so
okay,
we're gonna get that measured up and some other stuff things here, and then we'll be back tomorrow to work on some things for you.
The light is right.
Oh, for down there.
Yeah.
Where is it at?
It's right in the wall.
Oh, okay.
There. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's a kibbutz. Together. But anyway, I'd like to have a scripture support for anything we do. And not only do we want to have the words, whatever, but we don't want to do something that's not the same as what they did in the scriptures. But to as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. But you might, in the possibility that you're going to end up doing something that's not scripturally, you don't see in the scripture.
Yeah, you know, you can get a little bit mechanical or something about that way of thinking. Like the Amish say there's no buttons in the Bible, and so we're not going to have buttons, we're going to have these hook and eye things, you know? And you know, you don't want to think that way.
Yeah.
No, that's not, you know.
Yeah, well, I haven't been in that way, but I never would have gotten into deliverance the way we did, based on the scriptures.
Well, I was just, when you started talking about it, I got a flash, and I remember reading, see, the synagogue was not the church of Christ, you know, I mean, he preached there, and he read scriptures there. So wherever he was really where the church was in that day. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. I mean, and so it said hundreds would come, and it implied that lots of them got healings and deliverances.
Yeah.
So it was like groups, you know.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that.
And it just popped in right a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
You know, that I was thinking, well, but then I remember reading where it said, you know, and the multitudes come and all were healed and delivered, you know, set free from demonic forces, you know.
Mm. A lot of them came for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, I think, it was obvious God put his spirit in the church to have that happen.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. Yeah, it was obvious.
Yeah, I mean, because why would they manifest otherwise?
Yeah. It was just plain ordained.
Yeah. And so, you know, so in a certain sense, it wasn't a lot different than when Jesus was there. It was different in the fact that it wasn't him and it wasn't one person necessarily, but.
Yeah.
You know.
It'd be nice to have a chapter in 1 Corinthians about it, but. But he does say concerning his parents, so, you know.
Yeah.
But, and when you have a deliverance service, this is what you know. You don't find that in 1 Corinthians, but.
But you do see that a lot of the apostles were casting out spirits as well as healing.
That was part of their ministry.
Yeah, Philip and Peter, and Paul, of course, and you know, and others were doing it.
Yeah,
that was part of the ministry. I mean, more or less. I mean, all of them probably obviously didn't get documented, but what he thought was important did. So.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of detail as to what, you know, how the whole process occurred, but.
Speaking of that, I come across a couple of things. One instance, it says, and he cast them out by a word. And this is Jesus, but, you know. So, that one evidently didn't last too long, you know. But here's the one that I found that really, I don't have an answer for this one. I have no idea how this would work. So a lady comes to him and says her daughter's demon possessed. Well, it's the one that's begging and the crumbs under the table and stuff. Well, her daughter got delivered. Nobody went there. She was at home.
Yeah, right.
How did that happen? You know, how did that spirit get cast out? So, it's like, see, there's a lot of stuff open yet that God could be doing that we haven't seen, you know.
I've cast out demons over the telephone before. But.
Yeah, no telephone then.
But that was a little different.
Yeah.
Now that,
that stopped me kind of. Oh, I don't know what you say about that.
Yeah.
I have no explanation.
It was Jesus.
You know, and of course, I'll speak for me. I am not walking in his shoes. Although we're kind of supposed to. I mean, I think the possibility is there. It says to be, you know, Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of why we limit ourselves, I'm sure, without knowing, you know, we haven't tried to develop our faith to be as his was, you know, for various reasons. I mean, I got weak spots, of which I know, you know, and whatever. And so when those get dealt with, who knows what can happen?
Yeah, well, that's chicken and the egg. I guess my own feeling is that when the Spirit moves big, then we are not going to be people that demons find very happy to be in, if you know what I mean.
Right. No, that's true.
So deliverance will be simple, routine, just, you know, and multiple, and, you know, it just, I think, you know, what, of course, what do I know?
Yeah.
And all sorts of things that we are some abiding issue, whether it's demons or whatever it is, you know, that too wash away. You know, the flood comes, and things that just, there's just no way of moving that thing. Well, now the flood comes, and it is down the stream without, you know. The flood takes care of it.
Yeah, if the spirit comes and moves, yes, there are no limit. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, which is the key to be praying for, I would guess.
Yeah, I think so.
You know.
Yeah, if the spirit doesn't come from there.
Well, yeah, then we're
but
just...
Yeah, we have all both better, most miserable, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Which, maybe coming up to a point that I wanted to bring up or talk about tonight. You know, I'm 84. And so I'm used to a lot of old timers. My age or older, before, you know, or around before. And there's a common phrase that's wrong. And, you ask them, you say, and I know some I'm thinking of right now, but I'm not going to say their name. Some of them are not even here, but are not alive anymore. But they say, well, I'm just waiting on God. And I'm thinking, how long are you 80 years old? How long are you going to wait?
Hmm.
You're just waiting on God. And I know one that had passed away, and he came to me a lot of times. He said, I know God wants me to go and do something. He says, and I just don't go. I'm not really open to go. And he finally died. And I thought, is he okay?
Well, we don't know that, of course.
No, we don't know that. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't find anything in the scripture that tells us that, you know, Jesus said, Peter said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Is that what we are?
Mm-hmm.
Not right now. I'm not.
But aren't we supposed to be?
I don't know. He said it to them. That's interesting. Does that necessarily apply to every believer then?
Sure.
Well, does it?
Why not?
Well, because
it's recorded, so.
Well, yeah, recorded that he said, Peter, I'm going to make him fishers.
I mean, you would think it would be for some purpose that it was recorded, but that's always a question, though. You're right.
Well, because if you look at in Corinthians when it's talking of the gifts and everything, it says that not everybody has the same ministry, not everybody has mm-hmm. the same gifts, but they all are a part of the body.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sure there are people who.
I'm sure.
Who would say, you know, that prayer in John 17 where he's talking about us and them and thou and me, you know, all together in one. Well, that's just talking about the 12 disciples is all what, you know, 12 apostles, that's all that's talking about. It's not talking about the church at large or whatever, you know. And I say, booey.
I agree with you in that. I'm just saying the other thing just because I thought, well, do we just assume that? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we're supposed to share the gospel no matter what, I would guess. I mean, that was always, and I guess that makes you fishers of men, you know, to share the gospel.
You know, we don't want to go pop it off in our own strength, though.
No.
You know, we just don't. Now he'll maybe back you up and he calls them out.
What if we don't ever?
Well, that's the other side of the coin. I mean,
right.
But, you know, what if you do it on your own. You ain't any better than the other guy.
But you shall receive power.
Well, that's a, see, that's the key.
After the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yeah, give me the Holy Ghost with power.
Right, that's right.
And you shall be witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth.
No, I...
See, I can see where you can't do it without the power, but if you don't ask for the power, that's probably where you fail. You
yeah.
should be asking.
Yeah, you should be.
Right.
And I mean, I shouldn't say you should be, I should say we should be.
Yeah. That would be trying to be in his will, more or less, you know,
yeah.
to do his will.
And I'm saying that the Spirit is coming upon us. You know, and it's not very far away. Something is ready to happen. And I just assume something happened while I'm still alive.
Sure.
Not that it has to, but I'd like to see it. And and we shall come rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that song says?
Bringing in the sheaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's just a song, of course.
No, it's scriptural enough. Mm-hmm. You know, we do flounder until the Lord is there making it clear what's to happen, though. We cast about, we don't know this, we don't know that. Now, again, we need to see. But I thought, and I think I've probably said, failing is hard. Succeeding is easy. You know, it's the, but, you know, it'll be so easy when the Spirit comes and we'll, you know, go forth, you know, and it will be apparent that the thing that is on us is something that is, well, it'll be apparent that it's God. But it'll be apparent that, whoa, that thing is powerful, and, oh, either they like it or they really hate it, you know. I think the Spirit be there in a big way, and it will just plain be marvelous. Just marvelous. And I'm maintaining an expectation of it. I maintain an expectation of it.
Now, how much more will the Heavenly Father use the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
To them that ask.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I was saying that we don't want to get the attitude that we're waiting. What have we been? What are we waiting for?
Of course, I suppose the virgins waited, but anyway. But still, no, it's.
That's interesting. Mm. They were waiting until what? The groom came.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And 50 for half of them didn't make it.
Right. So, if you didn't want to wait, you wouldn't have been at the right timing either, probably. So. I don't know, yeah.
Of course, things apply to what they apply to and what they don't apply to. You better not try to shoehorn in. But yeah.
Yeah. Here's a scripture that I used to use many, many times in getting people to enter for salvation. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is he? And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Just an isolated scripture. But then the next verse says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. There's a correlation between those two. You know?
Want to explain that more? You want to explain that more?
Well, no, but I mean,
he doesn't want to.
I need to know more.
Well, you're saying that the process of having him come and sup and so forth,
mm-hmm.
there is an element in which it calls for our overcoming too.
Yeah,
you're thinking of. Yeah, he isn't just totally changing the subject.
Yeah.
He talks about,
well, yeah.
I don't know.
I guess I got. Behold, I. How does it say? Knock at the door.
I stand at the door and knock.
Okay. He stands at the door and knock.
If any man hears my voice, and opens the door, I will come into him. So we know what he's talking about. And sup with him, and he with me.
So how does that situation happen, I guess, is what I'm wondering.
Well, we probably have to have an ear for the knocking.
I mean, that could be someone presents the gospel.
It could be.
You know, and then because I've heard people say, you know, God could be knocking on the door of your heart right now if that's you, you know.
Yeah.
And that can be true.
And it's often is applied in that circumstance.
Yeah. Is that what kind of you were referring to or not? I don't know.
No, I wasn't really referring to anything. I'm just saying that.
Well, once you answer the door, then there's the next part.
Yeah. I'm saying that what I've seen is a lot of complacency.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of it in all of my years. I saw something last Sunday that dumbfounded me. And we were, you know, went out to a pizza ranch, and when we first got there, there weren't too many people. They came, and then the next thing we knew, the place was packed. And the women that came in were Pentecostal Assembly people. And, I mean, I could tell by looking at them, you know. And it's not that there's any problem with masks, but even the little two-year-olds had masks on. And they would sit down and eat, take them off, but as soon as they got done eating, they'd put it back on. And, I mean, lots of people, you know. And, but anyway, I thought, that's a crazy thing. It's a crazy thing, because people are getting so they're not so afraid of the COVID, there's hardly any cases cropping up, and the places that are afraid are the churches.
Well,
the churches, you say?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I've heard a lot of evangelicals are real staunch no-maskers, but you know, it's fun. It's a funny issue.
Yeah, it is.
Up until a few weeks ago, that was what was said. That was the requirement. You can come in with a mask when you get your food, but if you get up to go to the bathroom, anywhere, you're supposed to put a mask on when you go. Until you come back and sit down. That's been the kind of the rule around town, you know. So, but, you know, in the last few weeks, it's just...
And it may be an ordinance there in Eau Claire County. Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of up to the... If it's a private-owned business, they can say whatever they want. Mm. Kind of. I mean, a private-owned business can say you still have to wear a mask even if this ordinance said you don't.
Right.
You know, but it's like, yeah, so now it's... I just read the thing that just came out today from the CDC that's changing the mask requirement now. It was a new mandate.
Yeah,
well, it's now if you've been vaccinated and you're outside, you don't have to wear a mask. And here's what didn't make sense. Unless you're in a group that some haven't been vaccinated. Well, what's that got to do with it? You have been, so why would you care about anybody else? Right? That's why you get vaccinated, not to get it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so it said outside and family and all that now that you don't really have to have the mask, you know. I mean, and then it goes down to where it's saying, well, if you're in a group and there's unvaccinated people and whatnot, that's a higher risk, but it's not saying you have to follow the mask.
Yeah.
So... it's easing the thing outdoors, you know, which always made absolutely no sense to me. You know, it just never did.
Out the outdoors?
Yeah, outdoors. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Right.
There was so many replies under that, and I think this was ABC News. There wasn't one positive support of anything about masks even after that. It's like, oh, thank you, lords of da-da-da, you know, and all that, because, and you know, and it's like the people driving in their car by themselves with the mask on.
Well, that's a lot.
Well, a lot of that goes on. Or walking outside. Walking your dog, you know. So, you know, it's
well,
some of it has just been kind of ridiculous from the start.
That's neither here nor there. But I'm just saying, I was dumbfounded to see that.
Yeah.
They may feel, obey those who have the rule over you somehow. And if there is an ordinance there in Eau Claire County, and they are making a show to be in obedience with those. I don't know. I don't know what the thinking is, but for myself, I see it as a pretty minor thing, but unfortunately, it sends a signal. Either way, it sends a signal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad that it's like that, but. I have been vaccinated, so.
Right. It's kind of funny how they approached that, though. It was all about if you're vaccinated. They never said anything like if you're not vaccinated.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. They don't want to kind of go there, I don't think.
Yeah. Anyway, until we know, we don't know what the Lord, you know, was up with the Lord. I have thought, Keith, that you will be central to a powerful move of God. believe that there was some anointing on that thinking, but, you know, I could be mistaken about that. But I have, that is...
I'm sure you're right, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
And I have spent 60 strange years. And I read something here in the fourth chapter of Revelation. After this I looked, behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be thereafter. I heard a trumpet talking to me. Maybe a week after, you know, the next week after delivery started, I had my office where I, where the bed is in, back in that corner, and I can't remember how we had it set up, but anyway, I was, we were in as an office, and Joanne and I slept someplace else. And I don't know. Things have changed so much I don't remember. But anyway, I heard the music playing. And I was in the office, and here was this music. I'd never heard anything like it. And I ran out here quick to see what station she had on, or who was at. And she wasn't even home. And so I went back and sat down and started again. And so then it sounded to me like maybe it was outside. So I went out and I ran around the house. There was no music. So I came back in the house and I sat down. And the next thing I know, here it was again. And then like the third time, it got louder each time. And I tell you what it was like. I sat and listened to it. I shook. It was like instruments that were speaking. You know, they were speaking praises unto God, but they were instruments. There were saxophones, trumpets, guitars, pianos, and it was a awesome, awesome experience. And but it was like instruments were speaking. And when I saw that, it was a trumpet was talking, and it talked to whoever, you know, John or whoever, and we're going to hear things like that, I think.
Yeah.
Up in the heavenlies. You know? A different realm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We may be in front of our people and ask that happened with a group. You know?
Yeah.
You can be mighty bold when you're prompted by the Spirit to ask for a heavenly orchestra to be bringing the message. The band here from heaven to speak to the people.
Maybe you doing that.
Well, maybe.
I think there'll be lots of people that'll be central to whatever God does. You know?
Yes. No, I don't know.
No offense, but
I don't know. I don't see Keith as being exclusive to that. No.
Yes.
In the heart of
being
it.
Being a part of it.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, like we all.
No, I don't see Keith as necessarily being the you know, but I see him as the, you know. But no, yeah, all of us take an active.
Yes.
An active role.
It has to be that way.
An active role.
I would think.
Uh-huh.
My feelings are that.
Sure.
You know, the spiritual body of Christ has never been fully operating since Christ.
And it...
Really. I mean, well, maybe for a while after it was. Yeah. But, you know...
If we've learned anything, it's not a one-man show.
Right.
Not that.
And if you got special powers, well, it's only because God gave them to you.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make anyone higher than anybody else, because they say every member is equal in the body, you know.
Now, if I had gotten up, 2022, however long ago it was, and say, I think we should all be listening to the Bible all the time. I mean, that, you know, well, that's nice. Go ahead, you go ahead and do that. So, anyway, so there is a, at certain points in time.
Well, yes, there no doubt that God moved on you
there
to
is a
bring what you brought. There's no doubt.
Leadership, you know.
So, I mean, somebody has to.
Right.
If God, you know, God wants to use this, He's going to got to use somebody. You know.
Yeah.
And I think what it did is it opened up the word to all of us who would have an ear to hear.
Yes.
Which wouldn't have been there before, and so then who knows, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there were people that heard that aren't here now.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
people for whom that was just plain offensive.
Yeah. They just didn't make sense.
No.
And to me, it was like, I finally sat there one day and said, how could it not make sense?
Yeah.
How could you not say you don't need to hear the word of the Lord in the word of word of God?
It was going. It was messing too much with my own personal program.
I didn't jump on the wagon. Right.
If you think
not
about
it's
it,
a wagon, but,
right. But if you think about it, you don't really have to. Not that that's a big issue, but if heaven and earth is going to pass away, but that word is never going to pass away,
right.
Wouldn't it be nice to have that in you?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah,
I just didn't care to think about it. Yeah, no, you're absolutely. I mean, you know, looking back on it, absolutely. But at the time, I did not want it messing up what I was doing.
Yeah,
as much as it was going to happen.
Me either.
Yeah,
I'm not different than either one of you. I'm not different.
Mm.
But
we're all of like passion.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Like passion.
But I thought about it. I thought, you know, if that word is going to endure forever and ever, and we're, what we're talking about actually is the old, is the law.
Huh.
That's what it says. You know.
Yeah, but I think Jesus says it somewhere later. Because he says, the words that I speak to you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, it's all got to, it's all going to be for eternal.
I guess so.
Yeah. The law was righteous. The law was holy.
Right.
The law was spiritual.
You know, on the day of judgment, though, we are confronted with those, from those, that scripture. Explain why it is that you didn't adopt this as your and
Well, you know, I'm in a different place than I've ever been. I'm limited to this thing, you know, and I can't really do much without it. I can't. I go out and get tired watching check work. And but it gives me a lot of time to think, and especially during the night when I'm, you know, sometimes I wake up and I try to sleep, and I do pretty good. I sleep pretty good, but I think about the scriptures, and you know, ask and ye shall receive, knock and the door will be opened, seek and ye shall find. Well, I'm waiting for the Lord. Wait a minute. Well, I'm waiting for the Lord to cause me to seek. I'm waiting for the Lord to cause me to ask. I'm waiting for the Lord to make me knock. I can't make a pit. Mm-hmm. You know? How much more will Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? What do you mean, them that ask? Aren't you going to make us ask?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be objectionable. I'm just saying.
Well, it's totally true.
I'm telling you what I'm thinking.
In the last few weeks, which could be the Lord making me, but it's. But you let me qualify it. You know, if you start feeling a fear of the Lord for a right reason, then you start praying for some of those things.
Yeah. You know,
and I've been feeling that, and it's kind of like, oh, Lord, how long are you going to tarry with me? You know?
There's a scripture, Ken, somewhere.
Man, that's way too far away.
Yeah. No, it's fastened down, but there's a button there, and I can't reach it.
Well, I was getting it to tip.
Okay, can you get it now?
Oh, is this where the button is? Oh.
No.
Where is the button? I know there is a button.
Chuck, come over here and push the button for me.
I got it.
There you go. Okay. But anyway, it says past your time sojourning or something in fear. Are you familiar with it?
That rings a kind of a bell. I have no idea what it is, but.
No, but it makes sense.
You know what?
Be concerned. You know where you're at.
I'm sitting here by old age, and I'm afraid. I'm not afraid of dying. But I'm afraid it's like, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know? Oh, where's that scripture?
Oh, we need Corky here.
Yeah. Oh, let me see. I don't know where my...
Looking for your smartphone?
No. Charlie, I can't use it anyway.
I was teasing you.
Yeah. But anyway, it's something about that we are to be in a fearful state. You know, it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we are to be in a fearful state all the time. And I don't mean that we're worried, that we're afraid of God. It's not even that. It's like, Lord, what do you want? What do you have for me to do? Do you have something for me to do, or don't you have anything for me to do? If you have anything for me to do, would you let me know?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And that is the place we should be in.
Well, especially when you get to be 84.
Maybe 72, too.
Well, I found some references to sojourn in them, but not that one. I'm not sure. So I don't know if I know how to work this the way it's supposed to be worked either.
I can't tell. You know, I got some few references in the back of this thing.
Well, suffice it to say, that is the heart that we are instructed to have. And it's not the heart that I have.
It's not my ear. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I don't want to make too much in the way of an excuse for ourselves, but I think very often it is kind of a prompting when we are called to be asking. You know, we get a little poke in the ribs to be asking. Although, hey, at some point along the line, the Lord's going to start poking somebody else's ribs. You know? Not that guy. I don't seem to be able to rouse him out of his sleep.
Perfect love casts out fear, but it's not a fear of fear.
It's a different.
No, it's a different thing.
It's a like respect kind of.
Yeah.
Or reference. Well, or tuned into what he wants.
Yeah,
or
reverence, respect.
It's a matter of concern.
Yeah, you're concerned that you may fail or that you.
You're.
He may turn his face away.
Whatever the opposite is of complacency, it's that. You know.
Yeah. We're by commentary, or not commentary.
Topical.
Concordance.
The concordance. The young Chuck. That's a poor guy. He can't remember to get something from here to the bedroom.
He knows it's concordant, so.
Yeah. Oh, we have a good time. And is it a good prayer warrior? A singer. I never used to weigh this much.
Yeah, they are a big book. The binding fell apart on mine.
Well, maybe I should go look in that names. Topical Bible here.
There you go.
Are you still looking for the?
I'm just looking for the word fear.
Oh,
that's the topic I'll look at.
Yeah. I heard one on the tape about past your time sojourning or something in fear. And you know, Abraham's lifestyle was a lot different than most people today.
Against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear. No, that's not it.
I don't know if this is it, Keith, but in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I don't know.
I found it.
Okay.
Fear during the time of your sojourn.
No.
Where did it end?
That don't make sense. Well, could it be in 1 Peter?
Yeah.
1:17. I was thinking that was an Old Testament thing, but well, that's because the first ones I got were in the Old Testament, but that doesn't mean it's the only place. So 1 Peter 1:17. Well, okay. It says it a little different in my New King James. It's using the, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. But that's not...
That's what you were... That was it, wasn't it, Keith?
Yeah, that's it.
Pass the time of your dwelling here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things.
But what translation are you in?
By your Geneva Bible.
Okay. Yeah, that's close to the King James.
It doesn't say soldier.
Pass your time.
I'm wondering which one says soldier.
Probably maybe just the regular King James, the prior.
Yeah, I think so.
Is it the regular one, maybe?
I was listening to it. I just heard it on the...
Oh, well, then it might be... Well, is that what's in front of you on your lap?
Yeah. So what was it again?
1 Peter 1:17.
Oh, it says New King James.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. That was the King James.
Yeah, and that was where this reference was saying. It was King James.
And we're not to be afraid of God. We're not supposed to be. You know, but the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And love is made, how does it say that? Not love is made perfect in fear.
Well, perfect love casts out.
But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah, right.
Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. That's in Joshua.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I kind of know in my bones, but, you know, it's just... It's not complacency. It's not complacent.
No. No, it's not.
They came to you, here's in 1 Corinthians, came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling.
That's Paul. You know, it's a funny thing. It's easy to not understand what the Word of God is saying. It's real easy. The book of Galatians, the whole book is a correction to the Galatian people because they had so many old-time...
kind of a rule-based thing.
Circumcised?
Well, they had the... people that had become Christians who were saying you can't be saved unless you're circumcised. And he fought that all the way through Galatians. And it's a strange thing because of all people, here's Paul who supported that. You know? But God had corrected him. Well, you know what? We need to know that. When we read it, we need to understand it. And it's like circumcision doesn't save you. And but there are some of them that said that you can't be saved without being circumcised. And that's what the whole book of Galatians is about.
Here's a really nice setting of fearing the Lord. Psalms 147, 11. First it shows this, the Lord is pleased with those who fear Him, who hope in His loving. But then it says, the Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. No, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in. It must be.
That's both ends of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's
fear him, but yet put their hope in him.
Yeah, but because they love him, you know, they're doing it out of, it's saying love him out of fear. I mean, fear him out of love.
Well, you know what?
Not out of condemnation.
There's no way that you could get any idea of who God is without fearing him.
Sure.
You can't do it.
I think we don't use that sense of the word fear much in the modern world anymore. We don't.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem with it.
Right.
You know,
we don't have that kind of respect or whatever you want to call it for anything.
Fear is something that's like you're afraid of it. You're
right. Because
you know,
it's bad. It's
bad, and you're afraid of it. You're scared.
Right.
And that's not what it's implying.
No. And I think maybe it does get in the way with the right relationship with the Lord, too, that the modern day that we live in, modern age.
You want to purify your soul? Since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, doesn't it? It's dear love of the brethren, love one another fervent with a pure heart. That's all what follows in that one verse in Peter.
Jeff says, I haven't gotten one of you, the messages in our Tuesday nights or something for over almost a year, he says.
He hasn't what?
Gotten any of our messages for almost a year.
Oh, really?
Some of that's on Corky, I suppose, but... And
some of it's on
Jeff.
It's on Jeff and some of it's on Shelley.
Yeah.
Well,
and Shelley and Keith are, well, she'll hear me say that about it, but they're right in the process of moving to Spokane.
They're going to go into business there.
Yeah.
Sure that Jeff has a computer. He has to have access to the internet, so he's being a little bit stubborn in a way. But
well, so am I.
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't know what to do with a computer if I had one.
No. Okay.
Well, no, but I mean, what Charlie's saying. But if you have one and know how to use it, you really don't have an excuse.
I don't know. Who knows what the circumstances are.
And maybe he
are.
Doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah. Or, well, yeah.
Anyway, that was the verse I heard.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we chased it down.
Yeah. How about that?
Who needs Corky?
I got lucky.
That's their time of sojourn in fear.
Yeah.
And you know what? I do have that. I'm sorry, but I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really want to end this life in his presence and not without it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that hymn that says, "Have done with lesser things. Rise up, O man of God. Have done with lesser things."
Yeah.
That's what I'd like. Be done with lesser things.
Yeah.
Rise up.
It's like I've been writing that old Romans 6-7 the last week or two.
Where it...
Doing what I don't want to do.
Oh, that, you know.
That
stretch there, yeah. Yeah. Paul is describing a universal condition there, though.
Yeah.
We're stuck in that quicksand until we are saved by, pulled out of it by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank God for Jesus Christ.
But even though the Spirit of the Lord is what brings us out, we are told to be asking for it.
Yes, yes.
No. So even though on one hand there's not much we can do about it, on the other hand there's everything we can do about it.
Yeah. And Paul is despairing that he's in that jam.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's too much despair in my head. Oh, Lord, how am I ever going to get out of here? No.
Well, but that's the quandary there. Yeah. It's the fight with the flesh and sin, you know. It's the battle. But the only thing that really helps me and brings me back most times is, but see, if I was lost, I wouldn't be caring.
Yeah.
You know? I wouldn't be battling if I didn't care.
And if, you know, we would, in an instant, it would be the Lord that we would go to in an emergency, in a jam, whatever. You know, it's the Lord that we...
And it's so true, but back when the Spirit falls, there's a lot of things you don't care about anymore.
Sure.
You know, I can remember one saying to people, there is no high in the natural realm that compares with the Spirit being on you, with you being in the Spirit, being touched by God's Spirit.
Mm-hmm. I used to tell the guys in jail, it's just way, way, way better than whatever's in second place.
Yeah. But if you don't experience it.
Oh, I don't know.
You know.
You don't experience it.
And that's the tough part. Because that takes, I don't know, that takes, well, it kind of takes what we're talking about tonight. You know, a seeking, a desiring, calling out.
It's a knocking and an asking and a seeking.
Yeah.
And how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?
And it doesn't necessarily have to be in a prayer meeting, although it could be, you know.
Sure.
It's like I'm saying, it's almost like it's a life, a way of life.
Right. That's the way it should be. Yes.
That's what I want it to be.
Yeah, I pondered that thought once in a while. What would it be like that most every minute of the day you're so in tune with God, waiting and doing what He beckons you to do? You know, I mean, Jesus was—he was just there the whole time with His Father. I mean, and it can be done. I mean.
Well, it's not as though it's such a terrible thing to be doing.
No. Except that, why don't we?
We just have Adam's way about us.
But you know what? I don't want it.
No, I don't either.
No.
I don't want Adam's way. Although I don't, he's probably saved, but I.
Whatever, it's whatever, whatever this,
yeah,
that turn was that.
Yeah. But I got too much, what, how does it say that, I got all I can do to lift this Bible. Come on, I forgot what I did look up.
Yeah, I think Adam found favor.
Huh?
I think Adam walked with God after, you know, after what they did in the garden. Because how would have, the two sons,
Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel. How would the one know what was the right thing before the Lord?
Yeah.
If he hadn't probably been taught by his father, you know.
Now, the Lord made provision for Adam and Eve. They just weren't in the garden anymore, and they were under that curse. They had to, well, he had to work the fields or whatever, you know. He didn't enjoy the garden.
And
the way
they had 900 years to do it.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, he still uses that lineage as God.
Yeah.
God's lineage, you know. They must have left out the bottom door when they left.
I'm sorry?
They must have left through the bottom door.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't think they're down there anymore.
And which it was probably locked from the outside.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, I think he has a key.
Well, are we finished?
We done?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been good.